Folks, welcome to the Friday episode of the Basketball Podcast. Many of our loyal listeners know that every Friday we do a mailbag podcast episode. That's right, every Friday. We've been doing this for years. Don't go and look and search for the other episodes, like the one we did last Friday and the Friday before and the one before that and all of the other Friday episodes. Don't look for those. Just take my word for it that we've been doing this for a really long time. Every Friday, we read questions from the mailbag. This is our Friday mailbag podcast. Just take my word for it. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thanks to my loyal listeners that have subscribed. If you're new to this podcast and you haven't subscribed yet, be sure to subscribe on your favorite listening platform. Thanks to our sponsor of this episode, Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop where you, I'm not supposed to do that yet. You'll hear that in a minute. Before we get into this episode, folks, there is one request that I do have to make, and it's honestly a little embarrassing. As many of you know, this podcast isn't as big as some of the other basketball podcasts that are out there, like Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo and some of these other NBA experts. This is a one-man show. One-man show. Producer, writer, editor. One-man show here. And quite honestly, folks, we need your help. We need your help to get this podcast out. We don't have a good marketing team here, unfortunately, at the Basketball Podcast. They're pretty atrocious at what they do. And so we need your help to spread the word about the Basketball Podcast. And I just want to clarify, there are other podcasts out there. There's YouTubers out there as a good example. They want you to subscribe and like and share and all this stuff. And they just want you to send it to anyone. They just want all the views and they want all the listens. And they don't really care about people. And that's where the Basketball Podcast is different, folks. There's a very specific demographic that we're targeting this holiday season. And you can help us to reach that new demographic. Our research has concluded that the demographic we need to be targeting is your grandmother. That's right. Your grandmother needs to hear this podcast. So when you go home for Christmas or Ramadan or Passover, whatever it is that you celebrate, sit your grandma down in front of her computer. Log into Spotify, set up an Apple Podcast account, set up a Google Cast account, whatever it is, and get her access to this podcast. Make sure she knows that you listen to this podcast, because as soon as she learns that you listen to this, she will be smitten, and she will be ready to subscribe and like and share with her knitting club. It's the perfect way. No one is marketing towards grandmothers with NBA podcasts. We know that this is going to work. So again, when you go home this holiday season, be sure to set your grandma up with access to the Basketball Podcast. You won't be disappointed. And you'll now have a good friend that you can talk about the Basketball Podcast with. It's a win-win for all. So thank you, folks, for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Be sure to share this with your grandma. Let's jump into the mailbag questions. It's time for our mailbag. Two questions in the mailbag today. First question, would you rather choose Giannis or Luka to start your NBA franchise? If you listen to my last episode, you probably know the answer to this. I'm a bit of a fanboy right now, but it's definitely Luka. Why? Why would you choose Luka? Giannis is the reigning MVP. There's a couple reasons. Luka, right now, he's getting 30 points, 10 boards, 9 assists. And he's 20 years old. He was born in 1999. How old do you feel right now? I was born in 93. I'm a grandfather to this guy. Yeah, Giannis is getting... Listen, Giannis has obviously still some of the best numbers in the league. He's getting 31 points, 13 boards, 5.5 assists a game. But he's 24. Today's his birthday. What? December 6th is his birthday. Yeah, happy birthday, Giannis. I had no idea. Happy birthday, Giannis. I'm so glad you're listening. Man, I still pick Luka, but good for you. Do they play anyone? They play the Clippers tonight. That's awesome. That's going to be a great game. Giannis, on his birthday, playing the Clippers in Milwaukee. That should be exciting. We might be talking about that game the next day. We'll see. Maybe there's an emergency basketball podcast tomorrow if Giannis goes off on his birthday. Here's the reason why I would pick Luka. Really, the main reason why I'm going to pick Luka to start a franchise instead of Giannis. When I look at Giannis's playoff performance last year, it concerns me. He was the MVP. He was pretty much the MVP. They hadn't given the award to him yet, but everyone was like, well, he's going to win MVP. He had some tremendous numbers last year in the regular season, really similar to what he's getting right now. And then when he got to the playoffs, he scored 6 less points per game, and he shot the ball 3 more times, and his field goal percentage went down. Defenses honed in on him, and it showed. He's only 24, granted. He's got time to improve that. But there's one key part of his game that's missing, and defenses will continue to thrive against him in the playoffs with this piece missing. When I say thrive. They'll be able to manage him in the playoffs with this one piece missing, and it's his shooting ability. He can't shoot the ball. His free throw percentage is horrendous for a small forward. His three-point percentage is not good. He can't shoot the basketball. Luka's a good shooter. Luka's a clutch shooter. I would take Luka to start a franchise because once I get to the playoffs, that's where I need my franchise guy to step up and be my go-to. And Luka is my go-to. I was thinking about that for the Pacers today. Pacers have a 14-7 record. Pacers fan. I watch them. I really enjoy them. When they get to the playoffs this year, which they're expected to, who's going to be the guy? Is Victor Oladipo going to be back? Is he good enough to be the guy? Who's going to be the guy for them? When he played in the playoffs a couple years ago against LeBron, he wasn't the guy. He didn't have some great series. Bojan Bogdanovic was our guy. And he was legit. Who's it going to be for the Pacers this year? For the Bucks? Can Giannis do it? Can he take that next step and be the guy? Can he make the shots when he has to? Can he score when he has to? He put up good numbers, but 25 points per game is pedestrian in the playoffs if you're supposed to be the best player on the court. I expect Luka to do well in the playoffs. Granted, we haven't seen him in the playoffs yet for the NBA, but we've seen him win EuroLeague championships at a very young age. I think he has the swagger, he has the experience, he has the composure to be able to lead a franchise. I don't think that any moment is too big for Luka. That's why I'm going to choose him. He's got the Sam Cassell mindset, if you catch my drift. Next question, the last question. We're going to spend a little bit of time going through this question. This is one of my favorite questions that I have gotten to answer on this podcast in a long time. Typically, I'm answering stupid stuff that people give me, like, is Dion Waiters' performance consistent, or James Harden's performance consistent with strip clubs, blah, 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 stupid questions like that. Whoever asked me that question is a dumbo. But this question I'm excited for. Here's the question. Which contracts in the NBA today are the worst? What are the top 5 worst contracts in the NBA? The great part about this question, there's 2 great parts. One, we're talking contracts, and I love talking team structure, organizational structure, contracts, impact of a contract on future seasons. I love talking about all that. The franchising side of the NBA is very interesting to me, and I really get into that. I really enjoy discussing and projecting how bad a contract will be in the future. So that's one reason why I enjoy this. But the other reason, maybe the most important reason, there was 0 criteria given to me for this. So I get to decide what a bad contract is. And here we go. Here are the top 5 worst contracts. And maybe you'll be surprised by some of these. I know I sure was once I got done researching this. Here's the 5th worst contract. And again, these are all just based on my own criteria, my decision making. It's my podcast. I make the calls on this. Here's the 5th worst contract. Chris Middleton. That's right, Chris Middleton. And you might be saying to yourself, Chris Middleton? Why Chris Middleton? How is that the 5th worst contract in the NBA? I thought for sure he was going to say Chris Paul or John Wall or Russell Westbrook. And don't worry, those are coming. Chris Middleton is the 5th worst contract in the NBA. Yeah, Chris Middleton was an all-star last year. Sure, he's only 28 years old. He's supposed to be hitting his prime. But he is a career 15-4-3 player. Guess what he's getting this year? 17-5-2 on his career percentages of 45 and 38. 45% from the field, 38% from three. And just to clarify, it was 15 points, 4 boards, 3 assists. That's his career. His season average right now is 17 points, 5 boards, and 2 assists. That's what I call consistent with career averages. Consistent with career averages. Except this year, he just happens to be making $30 million. He's making more money this year than Joel Embiid, Porzingis, Devin Booker, Karl Anthony Towns. He's making more than Bradley Beal this year. Anthony Davis. There's a long list of players that are better than him that are making less money than him. He's making more than Giannis for the next two seasons. Like, if that's not shocking to you, I don't know what is. He's the highest paid player on the Bucks right now. He's the 19th highest paid player in the NBA, and he's averaging 15 points, 4 boards, and 3 assists for his career. And you might be thinking, well, that's fine. That's good. That's not bad. Well, Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes is a name you don't hear often anymore. Harrison Barnes today is averaging 16 points, 5 boards, 2 assists on 48% from the field. And if you recall, Chris Middleton is averaging 17, 5, and 2 on 48% from the field. He is the epitome of an overplayed average role player. Chris Middleton is overpaid. He's as good as Harrison Barnes. You might be saying, well, I bet Harrison Barnes is making good money. Oh, yeah, Harrison Barnes. He's making great money. Harrison Barnes, ladies and gentlemen, is making $24 million this year. And next year he's making 22 and then 20 and 18. His contract was an $85 million contract, and it was set up so that he makes all the money on the front end, and his contract is very movable at the end. That's not how Chris Middleton's is structured. Chris Middleton is going to be making $40 million in 2024. He'll be 33. I'm going on about this whole Chris Middleton thing, but this is, it's ridiculous after I looked at it. That's a bad contract. He's going to be making more money in 2022, 2023 than a majority of NBA players. He might have a top 10 contract that year. That's concerning. Chris Middleton has the 5th worst contract in the NBA. Number 4, Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook has the 4th worst contract in the NBA. And you know, as I'm looking through this, actually, I'm going to move we're going to save Westbrook. Here's another bad contract. I don't even know the order of this anymore. Here's another bad contract. Let's just say Tobias Harris. Let's just get this over with. Tobias Harris, I had him originally at the 2nd worst, but as I'm reviewing my list here, I don't think it's the 2nd worst, but I do think it's bad enough that we need to talk about it. Toby Harris's career numbers are 15 points, 6 boards, 2 assists on 47% from the field, 36% from 3, 80% from the free throw line. He's a solid shooter, solid scorer, again, that role player type of player. This year, 19 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 48% from the field, 30% from 3. That's a little alarming because he's had a couple of years now where he hasn't shot the ball well from 3. The second half of last year when he went to Philly, he wasn't shooting it well. Playoffs, he didn't shoot it well. Now this year, that's translating. He's not shooting the ball well from 3, and they need him to be able to shoot the ball well from 3 because he's supposed to be their sharp-shooting guy. He's only 27. He'll be 31 when his contract ends. But again, similarly structured to Chris Middleton's, he's got money going all the way through 2023, 2024. It's a $180 million contract. His in 2023, 2024, he's going to be making $40 million. It's pretty much what Chris Middleton is going to have as well. And Chris Middleton's is basically $180 million as well. But his 2023, 2024 contract year, that's a player option. He's going to take it because it's $40 million and he's going to be 33. There's no way he declines that. So Tobias's contract, from a timing standpoint, I like it better because he's only going to be 31 at the end. He's still 27. He has a chance to, again, get a little bit better, improve a little bit. Maybe he's still learning to play with the 76ers. But I look at all of this and I say, he's 27. His contract is still too expensive. They're overpaying for him. There are guys in the league that are putting up similar numbers to him that are making less, and enough to be justifiably less. I look back at Harrison Barnes, and Harrison Barnes, again, is on a four-year, $85 million deal. And he's 27. And his numbers are basically the same as those two guys. So maybe we'll just package those two together. Chris Middleton and Tobias Harris basically have the same contract. It's poor for pretty much the same reasons. They're overpaid. That's just it. They're overpaid. And I don't like that. You're overpaying for a guy who isn't going to push the needle far enough for you. So maybe those are a little bit more bureaucratic decisions on my part. I didn't go crazy with choosing someone like Hassan Whiteside. Here's the third worst contract. I think the next three are pretty definitive in order of how poor they are. The third worst contract is John Wall's. That's right. There are two contracts in the NBA that are worse than John Wall's. John Wall has the third worst contract in the NBA. His season numbers this year are null. He doesn't have any because he's not playing because he tore his Achilles falling down the stairs or falling in the shower or something embarrassing like that. Get well soon, John Wall. But in between now and then, we're going to laugh at your misery. John Wall's career numbers, 19 points, 4 boards, 9 assists. I like the 19 and 9. That's good. 43% from the field, not great. 32% from 3, bad. 78% from the free throw line, good. Solid. He's 29 right now. He'll be 32 when his contract ends. But, of course, the big concern there is that he's coming off an Achilles injury. And he'll be making $46 million at the end of his contract year in 2022-2023. I think this contract is, it was not as bad when it was actually signed with him. Of course, he then got injured and then he tore his Achilles. And so now it looks really bad because he's basically missed two seasons in the NBA. He missed most of last season. He's going to miss all of this season. And hopefully he'll be back next year. When he comes back, is he going to be the same player? We just don't know. This one, by definition, has to be one of the worst contracts in the NBA, but at the time that it was signed, I don't think anyone was saying, oh, clearly this is one of the worst contracts in the NBA. It's just the nature of him getting injured. His career numbers are concerning because he's only ever averaged 19 points, 4 boards, and 9 assists in his career. Some of those, of course, are skewed based on his rookie seasons and some of his first few years in the league. He was getting good numbers before he actually went down. But he's not overly efficient in scoring. Again, that's concerning, especially in today's day and age. If he's supposed to be your guy, you got to be able to score. The Wizards are going to be stuck in mediocrity now for the next couple of years. Do they even want to bring John Wall back? Do they just buy him out? I have no idea. That's a lot of money to buy someone out for, but do they even want him? Is there going to be someone that's going to want to trade for him? It would have to be a team that's like, yeah, we'll take that as long as you give us 19 future draft picks, which I don't think you're allowed to do. John Wall's contract is bad. I think we all know why. It's because he's injured. He's going to be old. He's coming off an Achilles injury, and the Wizards are going to have to pay him $46 million. That's the definition of ouch. Here's the second worst contract, and this is what I was going to say earlier, but I moved him up live on the podcast. Russell Westbrook has the second worst contract in the NBA. We need to talk about this. Russell Westbrook's career numbers, 23 points, 7 boards, 8 assists. 43% from the field, the same as John Wall's. 30% from 3, similar to John Wall's. And 80% from the free throw line, again, similar to John Wall. The averages there from the percentage standpoint, those are very similar to John Wall. This year, Westbrook is getting 22 points, 8 boards, 7 assists. That's basically the same as what he was getting for his career. And don't get me wrong, the last few years, those numbers have been up a little bit, right? He's getting triple-doubles the last 3 years, so these are down based on the last 3 years. But his percentages, this is shocking. His percentages this year, 39% from the field, that's not good. That is bad. 39% from the field is bad, folks. I don't even know if I want to say this. 21% from the three-point line. 21% from the three-point line. That is atrocious. That is atrocious. That's the definition of disgustingly bad. Let me help put this into context for those of you that aren't maybe as savvy with numbers. He's making one three-pointer for every 5 he shoots. That's atrocious. That's very bad. That's rec league basketball bad. Westbrook is 31 and he'll be 34 when his contract ends. And when his contract ends in 2023, it is $46 million. Which is interesting. Westbrook and John Wall will both be on the market in 2023. Westbrook's 31. He's going to be 34. He's the type of guy that can't shoot the basketball, and he's never been able to shoot the basketball. He's got to be able to make an impact in other areas, and he does to an extent. He can rebound. He can get assists. But are those just empty stats at this point? Are they empty stats? I said at the beginning of season that I thought that James Harden and Westbrook's pairing would be decent. They know how to play with each other. I liked the trade for the Rockets. I liked the trade just to help refresh the locker room, if anything. Get Chris Paul out of there because, obviously, he and James Harden weren't getting along. But from an on-court production standpoint, holy smokes. Westbrook is atrocious with the basketball. He can't score the basketball. It's bad at this point. Maybe he turns it around. Maybe those numbers jump up a little bit. But that's the second worst contract in the league if those numbers hold. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And the number one worst contract in the NBA will be revealed in just a minute. First, we have to give some honorable mentions. Honorable mentions for the worst contracts in the NBA. Let's start with Deion Waiters. I'm honestly, the only reason Deion is on this list is because a good friend of mine asked me to discuss him. And so he's an honorable mention just for the sake of my friend. I don't actually think Deion Waiters' contract is that bad. He's got 2 years left on it, and it's $12 million a year. He has the 107th highest contract in the NBA. And you put him on the right team, maybe he can contribute. I mean, you got guys like Solomon Hill still making more money than him in the NBA. You want to talk about a bad contract? That one's worse. It's still worse. Rudy Gay is making more. Danny Green's making more. There are contracts that you could argue are worse than Deion Waiters. Jan Mahimi, that's a good one. James Johnson, that's another good one. Eric Bledsoe's contract, that's a bad one. Golly, I'm seeing all kinds of terrible contracts now as I'm going through these. Bismack Biyombo is making $17 million this year, folks. The only reason I mentioned Deion is because a friend doesn't like him. He's a Miami Heat fan. I'm calling him out live on this podcast. Miami Heat fans are spoiled. Here's another bad contract. This one's coming from me. Miles Turner. That's right, Miles Turner. You might be saying, Miles Turner, he was on Team USA. He's one of the best young guys in the league. No, no, no. I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm tired of hearing that. Miles Turner is going to be making $18 million, counting this season and the next three. He signed a four-year, $72 million deal last season that started this year. He's making $18 million a year. And right now, he's averaging 12.6 boards and an assist. What? What? How? He's only 23, though. He'll be 24 this year. He's still young. He's been in the league long enough that we know who he is. This is what I've always said. When you're in the league for your... Once you've played through your rookie season, we know who... your rookie contract, we know who you are at that point. That's just all there is to it. Stop trying to make players something that they're not after four seasons, especially guys that have had enough minutes per game to know who they are. Miles Turner has averaged 28 minutes a game since his rookie season, and his career averages are 12 points, 6 boards, 1 assist, half a steal, and 2 blocks. Those hold true for every single season. There's not this, he didn't have 4 points and a board and an assist in his first season. No, no, no. He's getting 10 points, 5 boards, and an assist his first season. For the last 5 seasons, he has had consistently the exact same numbers. He has not taken the step. I would not have given him 4 years, $72 million. Not worth it. Honorable mention, Miles Turner. Another honorable mention, a former Heat basketball player, Hassan Whiteside. Hassan Whiteside's contract is just 1 year. But it's $27 million. This is the last year of his contract, but it's $27 million. And Hassan Whiteside today, 15 points, 12 boards, and an assist. It's not even that bad. That's not even that bad. I'm taking him off the list. It's not that bad. No one likes Hassan. He's not a great basketball player. I don't even think his teammates really like him. But 15 points, 12 boards, I'll take that. Heck yeah. Give me that. Let's trade him for... Let's trade Miles Turner for this guy. And then the last honorable... Well, two more honorable mention contracts. Andrew Wiggins, I just have to go ahead and point that out. It's very similar to Miles Turner. We know who he is. He is an average small forward. He's making too much. He's a little bit younger than Chris Middleton and Tobias Harris, so that's why Andrew Wiggins wasn't in that top five list. But if you want to talk about overpaid, underachieving small forwards, add Andrew Wiggins to the list. And then the final contract, this one actually is probably my least favorite contract out of any of them that have been signed, or any of them that have been discussed, I should say. Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon for the Orlando Magic. This guy, it's brilliant what he was able to do last season. Aaron Gordon's career numbers are 12 points, 6 boards, and 2 assists. And this season, it's 13 points, 6 boards, 3 assists. His field goal percentage is 43%. His three-point percentage is 33%. That pretty much holds true to his career averages. The guy is mediocre. Mediocre is the word I'm looking for here when it comes to Aaron Gordon. But at one point, it was either last season or the year before. I honestly can't even remember when he signed this contract. I think it was 2 seasons ago. He had an amazing first half to the season. I think it was 2 years ago because I remember there was discussion about the Pacers signing Aaron Gordon. I think it was 2 years ago. Yeah, it was. And we signed Doug McDermott. That's exactly what happened. Aaron Gordon, 2 seasons ago, had the greatest first half to his season he could have possibly had. Contract year, and he shot the ball like 41% from 3. He was getting like 20 points a game. It was like, oh, this guy found it. He's it. He finally found it. And then he was pretty bad the second half, and everyone was like, well, it's okay. He still was good. Some guys, the Pacers will go after him. Some other teams will look at him, and no one really went after him, and he re-signed with Orlando, and now he's looking like typical Aaron Gordon. He shot 33% from 3 every single year. He's shooting 33% from 3. Well, actually, his first 3 seasons, he was shooting like 28% from 3. Not good. Not great. It's a bad contract because he's making $53 million over the next 3 years. And finally, the number one contract to talk about in this podcast. This is my favorite one. You might not like this, but let's hear it out. The worst contract in the NBA right now is Damian Lillard. That's right. Damian Lillard has the worst contract in the NBA. Damian Lillard? But you love Damian Lillard. That's right. I do. I do like Damian Lillard. Here's the issue. Damian Lillard in 2021-2022 will start a new contract. And his base salary will jump from $31 million to $43 million. And by 2024-2025, he will be making $54 million a year. $54 million. How old will Damian Lillard be? He'll be 35. He'll be 35 in 2024-2025. $54 million. Here's his career numbers. 23, 4, and 6, 43% from the field, 36% from 3, 89% from the free throw line. Here's his numbers this season. 26, 4, and 7, 44 from the field, 36 from 3, 91 from the free throw line. If you didn't follow that, his career numbers and his season numbers are basically identical this year. That's a recipe for disaster. You're looking ahead, projecting ahead 5 years, and this guy's 29 right now, and he's getting his career averages right now. Yikes. Yikes. You're hoping that he would have pushed it up just a little bit more and he starts to regress, maybe 31, 32. Uh-uh. Nope. It's going to start to happen sooner than what you thought. He's going to be 35, and he's going to be making $54 million a year, and the Trailblazers will be absolutely supplanted in mediocrity. It's atrocious. It's one of the worst contracts I've ever seen, quite honestly. $54 million. Here's one contract that you didn't hear me say, and you might be wondering about this, and I just want to clarify. Chris Paul. A lot of people have said, well, Chris Paul has one of the worst contracts. Chris Paul is making the second most money this year. Steph Curry technically has the highest paying contract. He's excluded from this because he's not playing, and when he comes back, he'll still be good. Chris Paul is making the second most amount of money of any player over the next three seasons, including this season. He's making $38 million this year, $41 million the next season, and $44 million the final season. I did not put Chris Paul on this list because I kind of like Chris Paul on OKC. I think they're overachieving a little bit right now, more than what they had hoped to be overachieving. There are some teams in the East that are abysmal, and the Thunder are in a position where they might not get one of those top picks if they're not careful. Tanking's no longer supposed to be a thing, so you're supposed to have the same opportunity to get the first pick if you're like the four worst teams in the league. So they do have it. They don't have as much of an incentive to lose every game. But if you look at the Thunder, that roster is actually pretty good. And they're not terrible right now. They're 8-12. They're kind of hanging around the playoffs. They have Steven Adams. He's solid. Always good. I like Terrence Ferguson for them. He's on a really good deal right now because he's still young. He's a solid fill-in player. He's the type of guy that they always seem to have. They always have the Jerian Grants, the Justin Holidays, the Terrence Fergusons. Athletic, long, lanky, can get up and down the court and play defense. Gallinari is having a really good year. SGA is having a really good year. And honestly, Chris Paul is not having a bad year. He's 34 and he's having a solid year. His numbers, he's getting 15 points. Let me pull it up real quick. 15 points, 6 boards, 4 boards, 6 assists, 46%. From the field, 37% from three, 87% from the free throw line. That's pretty much consistent with his career numbers. He's going to be making $44 million in 2022, but that's not as bad as some of the other numbers we just threw out there. But what I like most about this is they don't have to play him and have him win games. And he's honestly not a bad mentor for SGA to have or for some of their other young players. He's a good veteran locker room presence. I think those guys would probably respect him. Right, there's no position for them to be winning right now. The expectation isn't for them to win. So they don't have to get concerned if Chris Paul's a jerk to them and they're doing really well on the court. Because it's not happening. He's just there to get his money, play some ball, teach these young guys, and then leave. I like it. I don't dislike that contract. If he was on another team, if he was on the Rockets still, then he would have been up there. He would have been one of the worst teams. Because the Rockets are in a win-now mode, and Chris Paul just isn't the guy for that. So that's it. Those are the contracts. 30 minutes? Holy smokes. We spent 30 minutes talking about this. That's it for this Friday's NBA mailbag. Thank you so much for listening to the basketball podcast. Be sure to subscribe, share with your grandma, share with your grandpa. If your grandma and your grandpa both are interested in basketball, then make sure they're both subscribed and both listening. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time on the basketball podcast.